Today's daf is Sukkah daf mem beis of Freilich and Shushan Purim. We are holding on daf mem aleph and beis. We are about five lines before the lines get wide on daf mem aleph and beis. So first we're going to discuss the various times that people would hold their lulav, would carry their lulav, even when it wasn't during Hallel and when it wasn't at the Zman of the Bracha, if there's some sort of additional inyan of taking the lulav throughout the rest of the day. And then we're going to discuss the concept of Toa b'dvar mitzvah. If a person is busy trying to do a mitzvah and he accidentally does an Avera, so the Mishnah has said that he's Potter according to Rabbi Yossi. So what if a person is Toa b'dvar mitzvah but he was already Mekayim the mitzvah? What if a person is Toa b'dvar mitzvah but then he's not actually doing the mitzvah right now that he's being Toa b'dvar mitzvah in? So Gemara is going to discuss both of those issues, and then the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph is going to talk about taking the lulav home and putting it back in water on Shabbos, putting it back in water on Yantav, putting it back in water on Chol HaMoed, and the different halachos of each of those days. And then the Gemara at the end of the parak, we're going to finish up as Shem the third parak today, is going to talk about the mitzvah of chinuch and the different stages of the development of a child and what halachos apply at each stage of a child's development. And then at the beginning of the fourth parak, we're going to talk about the various mitzvos that apply throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkos and how many days of Sukkos those mitzvos apply for, and why it could vary based on the year, based on how Sukkos falls out. So let's pick up again, five lines before the end of the page, before the lines get wide, on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Amalei Mar Bar Amemar L'Ravashi Abba Tzuliyah Kamatzli Bei. He said, my father Amemar used to daven holding the lulav also. It wasn't just something that he would do while he was saying Hallel. Even during Tefillah he would carry the lulav. But don't we learn that a person is not supposed to hold something while he davens? You're not supposed to hold your tefillin or hold the Sefer Torah while you're davening, nor should one urinate while he's holding these things, and a person shouldn't go to sleep when he's wearing his tefillin or when he's holding his tefillin, not a shinas kevan nor a shinas harai. It's not only tefillin, it's not only a sefer Torah. A person shouldn't hold a knife because he's going to be afraid that he's going to drop it and he's going to hurt himself, or a full plate because he's afraid he's going to drop it and get all over the place, or money, he's afraid he's going to drop it, he's going to lose it, or a kikar, loaf of bread, he's afraid he's going to drop it and it's going to get ruined. All of these things he's also not allowed to hold while he's davening. So the bottom line is, why are you allowed to hold the lulav? Why do we say that it was okay that a memer used to hold the lulav while he was davening? Answers the Gemara, hasam lav mitzvah ninu v'tarid behu. By these other items, it's not a mitzvah to hold them, and therefore you're tarid in them, you're going to be distracted from the davening by holding these items. Hacha mitzvah ninu v'lo tarid behu. But over here, by the lulav, taking the lulav, carrying the lulav is a mitzvah, and because the mitzvah is so beloved to you, it's not going to be something that's a tirda, adrab, it's a pleasure, it's a joy, so it's not something that's going to make a person preoccupied and take his kavana away from the tefillah. Vilagatoso, so I'm a shmul, sakun, ukar, vikikar, mo, saril, kiyotzben. What Shmuel is adding when he adds all these mundane things in addition to tefillin and sefer Torah is that one might have thought that it's worse to carry tefillin and a sefer Torah than to carry money and a plate of food and all of these other items, because these other items are mundane and there's no big deal if you drop them. It's not such a problem if you drop them, but if you drop a davar Kadosh, you drop a tefillin, you drop a Sefer Torah, so that's a much bigger inyan. Now, it doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere that if you drop a Sefer Torah, they have to fast for 40 days. That comes from later sources, that minhag of significant fasting going on because of the dropping of a Sefer Torah, or even fasting for one day when you drop tefillin. It's actually a much better source for fasting for one day when you drop tefillin than fasting 40 days when you drop a Sefer Torah, but that's a different discussion for a different time. But still, it's a bizayon to drop items of Kedusha, not such a bizayon to drop food, not such a bizayon to drop money. It's just that a person's going to be preoccupied, he's not going to want to drop these things. That's why the Gemara has to add these items. The minhag of Anshe Yerushalayim was as follows. Adam yotzi mi beiso v'lulav biyado. A person would leave his house, he'd be carrying his lulav. Holich lebeis haknesses, lulav biyado. He'd go to shul, carrying his lulav. Kari kriyashma mispalel, lulav biyado. He would say kriyashma, he would daven, still carrying his lulav. Kori b'tor v'nosias kapav manichol gabe karka. When he would read from the Torah, or he would be nosias kapav, he would duchen, so then he would put it down on the ground. Holich levakar cholim l'nachim avelim l'lava b'yado. But again, the Anshe Yerushalayim, when they went about their daily business, they went to be mevakar cholim, they went to be menachim avelim, do all these other mitzvos, they'd carry the lulav the whole time. Nichnas l'beis ha-medrash, meshagar lulav b'yad b'no, b'yad avdo, b'yad shulcho. They'd go to the beis medrash, so then they wouldn't carry the lulav, they needed their entire focus to sit and learn, so they would give the lulav to their son, or to their evet, to their shliach. So my kamash, well, what's the chiddush in telling us that they would carry the lulav around all these different times? Reason to let you know just how zoriz they were in doing mitzvahs, that wherever they went, they always had their lulav. It's interesting to note when they did and when they didn't have the lulav. I mean, they wouldn't have the lulav when they were learning, because it was apparently a distraction from their learning. They didn't have the lulav when they were nosias kapav, because it's just impossible. You can't carry something when you're being nosias kapav. But by tefillah, that they would have their lulav by. So the Gemara just explained, because it's not something that's going to be matrid them from the tefillah, because it's a mitzvah. So since it's a mitzvah, they're not going to be tarred. Is it that they are being... It can't just be that it's a chefetz shel mitzvah, because sefer Torah and tefillin are also a chefetz shel mitzvah. You're not allowed to carry those things when you daven. You are allowed to hold a siddur when you daven, because the siddur aids in the mitzvah itself of tefillah. It aids in the tefillah itself. So one could have gotten two ways with the lulav. One could explain that the carrying of the lulav itself is a mitzvah, and that's what it means that a person is tarred in the mitzvah. One could have also suggested not only is it a mitzvah, but it's like the siddur, that it aids in the tefillah, that if we understand lulav and the nanum of the lulav, the way the Gemara described it, that it's girubei nitzitna, that it's a tefillah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's going to bring the ruchos and the talalim, etc. He's going to make it, he's going to have rachmanas on the world, and the lulav somehow symbolizes that. So lulav may be somewhat of a din in tefillah, as we've pointed out a few times already. The Ritva holds that lulav has a din of ritzui, and that's why there's such a concept that mitzvah baba avera dafka by lulav, because the Ritva holds mitzvah baba avera is only when it comes to mitzvahs of ritzui. It's also a discussion, this minhag of the Anshe Yerushalayim, it's yesh la'ayin, what exactly is the kunz of carrying the lulav around all day? Is it just chibuv mitzvos bilvad, just a way of showing that they have a deep sense of love for mitzvos? Or is it maybe no, maybe there's an additional kiyum each moment that they're carrying the lulav? The Ramah and the Tur sound like it's only a din chibuv mitzvah, but Tosos we saw earlier, and we pointed it out at the time that we saw it in Daf Lamed Tesla Med Aleph, Tosos, according to one Teretz, says that the Anshe Yerushalayim could have been Mevarich on the Lulav all day. I mean, if they forgot to be Mevarich earlier, they could still be Mevarich. Why? Hol va mitzvah l'nigmar adayim, because the mitzvah wasn't over yet. That Tosos considered this to be over Las Yasan. If the Anshe Yerushalayim would make a Lulav, and would make a bracha on their Lulav halfway through the day, that would be called over Las Yasan. So you see, according to Tosos, holding the lulav is a kiyum mitzvah of lulav. Each moment that they're holding lulav is a new kiyum mitzvah, and you can make a birchas mitzvah on that kiyum mitzvah. So it's not just stam a chibuv mitzvah. And the Tosos goes l'shitasim, because the Gemara Memalf and Bezin says that Mike Kamashma diach kama yizrizim mitzvahs. So Tosos would assume zrizus b'mitzvahs lulav itself, that each moment that they're taking it, it is a kiyum mitzvah of lulav. But Tosos says this again later on. Of Memheim and Beis, Tosos says of a lulav ain ikur mitzvah so el pam achas biyom. Because I mean mida agbe nafak bay, that the ikur mitzvah is pam achas. The implication is, but there are shiare mitzvah. There is some other element of the mitzvah that's not just the ikur mitzvah that continues after mida agbe nafak bay. That there is a kiyum mitzvah each moment that one carries the lulav. However, if that's the case, that there's a kiyum mitzvah for every single moment one is holding the lulav, why was it only the Anshe Yerushalayim that were knowing like this? Why wasn't everybody knowing to take the lulav as much as possible? There were tzaddikim outside of Yerushalayim also. Why was this only Yerushalmi minhag? So Salvechik suggests in Hari Kedem Sim Kuf Mem, he He quotes Rav Soloveitchik, suggests that according to the Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos that we mentioned yesterday, that all of Yerushalayim is included in the mitzvah of Lulav Kol Shiva, that the din of Lulav Nitol B'Mikdash Kol Shiva is a din in all of Yerushalayim, the whole Yira Atika has a din of Yerushalayim. It could be that Dafka, the mitzvah of Lulkachtam Lechem B'Yom HaRishon, we say Mida Agbe Nafakve, that the din that you pick up a Lulav and right away that's it, you're Yotze the mitzvah, there's nothing more. Maybe that's only a din in Lulkachtam Lechem B'Yom HaRishon, but maybe in the din of Smachtam Fnashem Elkechem Shivas Yamim, which is knowing in Yerushalayim for all 7 days, maybe that din doesn't have a Mida Agbe Nafakve. Maybe it's Dafka in Yerushalayim that there is an additional Kiyum to take the Lulav all 7 days. Maybe there's an nafkamina between those two dinim of the mitzvah of Lulav. However, in Aliyos Eliyahu, it says that the Gra was knowing to be Ochez Lulav Biyado Kolayom Kaminag Anshe Yerushalayim, that the Gra would take the Lulav, would carry the Lulav all day, like the minhag of the Anshe Yerushalayim. And if that's the case, it would seem that the Gra apparently held that this was not only a din in Mikdash Kol Shiva, it was a din even in Ulkach Lulcham Biyom Rishon, or perhaps a din in the Zechel Mikdash as well, that maybe that was part of the Zechel Mikdash, that we are not to Lulav Kol Shiva as a Zechel Mikdash. So even though it was only originally done by the Anshe Yerushalayim, the Gra did it as well. But that's an interesting concept, that there might be nafkaminas in the mitzvah itself, between the mitzvah of the two mitzvahs d'oraisa of Lulav, Yom Rishon outside of Mikdash, Yom Rishon and Gvulin, and Shivas Yamim in Mikdash. There may be different dinim that govern those two mitzvahs. Okay, so the Gemara says further now, two dots at the bottom of the page on Mem Aleph and Beis. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Yom Tov, so this is going back on the Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi said that on Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, that falls out on Shabbos, and you're not supposed to take Lulav on that day, but a person forgot and he carried his Lulav out into the Rishus Rab, he's Pater, because of Tzio B'Rishus. He's Pater for carrying on Shabbos, because when he took it out, he was trying to do a mitzvah, he was Torah bin mitzvah, so he forgot that it was Shabbos, so he ended up carrying. So that's called the Torah b'dvar mitzvah. Torah b'dvar mitzvah is potter from bringing korban. Amar Abaye lo shana lo shelo yotzebo. That's only if he was not yet yotzei the mitzvah of lulav. Aval yotza chayiv. But if he was already yotzei the mitzvah, and then as he's Torah b'dvar mitzvah to try to take the lulav again, so then he's going to be chayiv. That's not called the Torah b'dvar mitzvah. So hamida agbe nafak be frek the Gemara. What do you mean? We're only talking about when he was not yet Yotzei. If he picked it up, he was already Yotzei, because as soon as you pick it up, you're Yotzei. How's it Shaykh that he carries Lulav out to the Rosh Hashanah and he hasn't yet been Yotzei the mitzvah? If he's carrying Lulav out to the Rosh Hashanah, by definition, he's already been Yotzei the mitzvah. So Gemara's going to have two answers. First answer, Amar Rabbi Kisha Havcho. Maybe he carried it out to the Rosh Hashanah upside down, and that's why he wasn't yet Yotzei, because you have to do the mitzvah of Lulav Derech Gedilasa. You have to carry the Dalad Minim right side up. You're not allowed to carry them. When you carry them upside down, you're not Yotzei the mitzvah to carry them upside down. So he was not yet Yotzei the mitzvah. Now Tosfos points out from the fact that Abai says Kishahavcha, Abai could have said better. He could have just said that you weren't having Kavana to be Yotzei the mitzvah. And that's the Pashtus, that when you were carrying it to go Eitzel Baki Lilmod, you're carrying it to go learn how to take Lulav. So Pashtus is you're not having in mind right now to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Netilah Lulav. So if Abaye really held that mitzvos ein srichos, the mitzvos srichos kavana, then he could have just said that you weren't having kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. That's why you weren't yotzei. So it sounds from here that Abaye holds mitzvos ein srichos kavana. That's the implication of our Gemara. The problem with saying that, Tosfos points out, is that in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, when Rava says mitzvos ein srichos kavana, kamosiv le Abaye tuva, Abaye is the one that goes on the attack and he starts asking all sorts of questions on Rava. How can you say mitzvah sein tzrichos kavana? We have a raya from here, there, somewhere else. He's the one that's asking on Rava. So it sounds like Abaye holds mitzvos tzrichos kavana. So which is it? Does Abaye hold tzrichos or ein tzrichos kavana? So Tos suggests v'shem Abaye kibluminei. Maybe in that conversation that Abaye has with Rava in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where Abaye goes on the attack and Rava successfully defends himself from all of Abaye's attacks, maybe Abaye ultimately was Moda, that ain't a chinami mitzvos, ain't srichos kavana. The Rishonim ask, why don't we say that we're talking about where he's miskavin lahedya lo latzeis? I mean, even if you have mitzvah saying shrichas kavana, there's still another answer you could say over here. You could have kavana beferish not to be yotzei, because as Tulsus pointed out earlier, even if you have mitzvah saying shrichas kavana, that would just mean that you don't need to have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah, that when you do the mitzvah stam, it's ki'ilu you had the kavana, that it's good enough. It's as if you had the kavana. But if a person has kavana specifically that he doesn't want to be yotzei the mitzvah, so we're not going to say that he's mekayim the mitzvah al karcho, that we force a kiyum mitzvah on him. So that's shitas hatosos throughout Shas. So why don't we say over here that even if yod mitzvah saying shrichas kavana, maybe he's having kavana beferish lo latzeis, not to be yotzei the mitzvah. So the Rush answers, we're talking about a person who's not a baki in the halachos, that is going to learn how to take lulav by a baki. So he certainly doesn't know the halachos of kavana sa mitzvah, that he needs to have kavana shalom in order to avoid a kiyum a mitzvah. We're not talking about a Rosh Kabahag over here who knows all the halachos. To assume a level of knowledge where a guy is going to have specifically in mind that he dafka doesn't want to be yotzei a mitzvah, so that already requires him being a little bit of a London. We assume that he's not if he doesn't even know how to shake lulav yet. So that's what the Rosh answers. The Sefer Yireim says that mitzvah shrichas kavana, and that we pass mitzvah shrichas kavana, and if he doesn't have kavana to be yotzei, he's not yotzei his chiv at all. And when the Gemara says I midag be nafik be, and it doesn't just answer that we're talking about where he's not even kavana to be yotzei, that's because if he had kavana lo lotzis memeli, he's not tor b'mitzvah. So it's, we're not going to patter him because of tor b'dvar mitzvah. Meaning if he's not intending to fulfill the mitzvah, so memeli he's not a tor b'dvar mitzvah. The whole topic of discussion over here is that the guy is a tor b'dvar mitzvah. So you can't say that he's having kavana not to be yotzei the mitzvah. He's not even having kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah, because if he's not even having kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah, so mele he's not a toa b'dvar mitzvah. The Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos Parak Beis Halacha Yud says hamotzias alul b'yom tov rishon shel chag shchalios b'shabes kdei latzeis bo ve'aviro arba amos b'rishusram b'shogeg poter sher b'rishus hotzi. So all the achronim ask that it sounds from the Rambam that even if he didn't turn it upside down or he didn't take it b'kli, meaning the Aruch Gemara said that when is he poter, when is he called toa b'dvar mitzvah, only if he wasn't yotzei the mitzvah yet, so he turned it upside down. But the Rambam doesn't add that caveat. He just says, you're pater. And in our Gemara, it sounds like you have to dafka turn it upside down in order to be pater. Or as Rav is going to say, at least take it in a kli, carry it ali de davar acher in order to be pater. So the Acharim say that the Ram l'shitasa, this is the Ram l'shitasa, because Ram holds mitzvah strichas kavana. And as Tosfos points out over here, this Gemara is only going like the shita that holds mitzvahs ein strichas kavana. The Ram writes beferish in l'chashofer per gimel halacha dalid that mitzvahs strichas kavana. So that's how they answer up the Shitas HaRambam. So anyway, that was one answer. Again, the Gemara's question was, how can you say that the guy is Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah only if he has not yet been Yotzei the Mitzvah of Lulav when he's carrying it? By definition, he's been Yotzei the Mitzvah of Lulav if he's holding it in his hand. So answer number one was, he's holding it in his hand, but he's holding it upside down. So he has not, by definition, been Yotzei anything. Answer number two, Rava Amar, Afilu Teimer Shalo Havcho. We could even say that he's not holding it upside down. Hachamai Askinon. Kigon showed Tzio Bekli. Over here we're talking about where he's carrying the lulav in a kli. He's not carrying it directly with his hands. So that's why he's not Yotzei the mitzvah. But isn't Rava the one that holds that even if you carry it using something else to hold the lulav, that's still called lekicha of the lulav? So how can you say that carrying it in a kli takes away his kiyum mitzvah? Answers Gemara, hani mili derech kavod, avol derech bizayon lo. If you hold the lulav al yidei davar acher, but it's a derech kavod for the lulav to carry it in such a way, so then one is going to be, so like the example we had was being korich sudar al yadav, to wrap a cloth around your hands to carry the lulav. So that's what the Gemara said a few days ago, that you're mekayim the mitzvah. But when it's derech bizayon, you carry the lulav in a kli, in a totally separate kli, which is not a derech kavod of the lulav, everyone's going to agree that that's not called lekicha, that's not a fulfillment of carrying the lulav. Amr Rav Huna, Omer Hay Rabbi Yossi, Ola sa'ov shenimtzeis beinak payim ukasavar chata sa'ov hiva achla pater. If a person finds a carbon that's an ola sa'ov, but he thought it was a chata sa'ov, and he eats it, because the halacha is that a chata sa'ov is nechal by kohanim, and an ola sa'ov is not nechal at all. The ola sa'ov is burnt entirely on the mizbech. So somehow it got confused, and he found a bird, he thought it was a chata sa'ov. Chata sa'ov is eaten by zichrei kohuna. It can only be eaten by male kohanim, but it can be eaten. So a male kohen finds a chata sa'ov, what he thinks is a chata sa'ov, and he eats it. Turns out it's an ola sa'ov. He's potter. Why is he potter? Because he's tov b'dvar mitzvah. So says the Gemara, "Mai kamashman the tov b'dvar mitzvah potter." What's the great chiddush of this din that someone who's tov b'dvar mitzvah, someone who's preoccupied in doing a mitzvah and he accidentally does an avera, that he's potter from the avera? Hainuach. That's the same din we learned in our Mishnah, that if you end up carrying your lulav on Shabbos, you're potter because the tov b'dvar mitzvah is potter. What's the chiddush? So mal detema hasam the tov b'dvar mitzvah potter hainu davin mitzvah. Because by us, in the case of lulav at least, when you were tov b'dvar mitzvah, you ended up carrying it on Shabbos, so you did the avera, but you also did the mitzvah. You also took the lulav, so at least that's a mitzvah. Aval hacha the tov b'dvar mitzvah lo avin mitzvah imelo. But over here by the karban, to eat it all asof is not a mitzvah at all. So he did an avera without doing any mitzvah. So I might think that if there's no redeeming quality of at least having been mekayim, some sort of mitzvah in his violation of this avera, I might have thought that he should be chayiv when he's tov b'dvar mitzvah. Kamash malon, therefore has to tell me that a tov b'dvar mitzvah is potter even if he didn't actually end up doing a mitzvah. What does it mean? Nimtzeis bein akpayim. He found bein akpayim. What does that mean? So Rashi fills us in over here. Rashi tells us nir be'enai dahainu bein akpayim enu el lashon ofos ola sa'of shenimtzeis bein ofos amalukam lechatas hamafarch sinetz al mizbeach. It means amongst other birds that sometimes an ola sa'of will be jumping around after the malika by a bird carbon. It's different than every other carbon. By other carbonates we do shechita. Shechita is how we kill animals to eat them outside of the Beis HaMikdash as well. It's not only by kachim, but by bird kachim, the halacha is that you don't do shechita. We do malika, which is the fingernail through the back of the neck, an entirely different procedure than shechita. But after they would do the malika, a lot of times the birds were still jumping around from the nerves next to the mizbeach. So shapam she'nas al keren achas, and sometimes an ola sa'of would be the malika, the ola sa'of would be done right by the same corner of the mizbeach where the chatas ha'ofs were done, even though that was not ideal. K'titnan b'shechitas kachim. The Gemara says this in Masechet Zvachim. The Mishnah says that chatas ha'of is anasas al keren ma'aravis dromis. The chatas ha'of was on the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Ushlosh dvar ma'isos al keren m'shameshes milamata v'gimel milamala. There were three things below the chutas sikra that you would do on the southwest corner, and three things above the southwest, above the chutas sikra on the southwest corner. Milamata you did chatasov agashos v'sheri adam umilamala nisach hamayim v'yayin va'ola sa'ov k'shi rabba b'mizrach. So that was the din, that ola sa'ov, really the ikar makom the ola sa'ov was dromus mizrachis, was the southeast corner, but sometimes there were so many ola sa'ovs going on in the southeast corner that there wasn't room for more and you had to bring another ola sa'ov, so we'd move it over to the southwest corner, and that's where chataos were. So sometimes you'd have an ola sa'ov that would get mixed in with the chataos because it had to be brought out of place because there were too many people bringing ola sa'ovs on the southeast corner. So that's how such an event could happen, that you find the Beina Akpayim, that you find the one bird mixed up amongst the other birds. Okay, Meisir Rabbi Yossi Amar Ashochel Es Tamid Sheino Mevukar Kil Chasu B'Shabbes Chayiv Chatos V'Tzarich Tamid Acher. If a person shechs a carbon tamid that was not Mevukar Kil Chasu, the halacha is that a carbon tamid you need for 4 days in advance. It needs to go through an inspection process to make sure that it doesn't have any mumin. So let's say you shechs a carbon tamid that did not go through that inspection process and you brought it on Shabbos. Now the halacha is carbon tamid is Doche Shabbos. We bring carbon tamid every single day, twice a day. On Shabbos, on Yantif, Yom Kippur, doesn't matter. Every single day, we bring the Karban Tamid, but it has to be a real Karban Tamid that's kosher to be brought as a Karban Tamid. If it wasn't Mavukar Kilchaso, it's not kosher to be brought as a Karban Tamid. So this is an example where you would think you'd be Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, but what do we say? That you're Chayiv Chatas, and you need to bring another Karban Tamid. So not only are you not Mekayim the Mitzvah of Karban Tamid, you're Chayiv. We do not consider this to be a Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. He has to bring another Karban Tamid. He's Chayiv. chayiv chatos for violating Shabbos. So apparently, tabid var mitzvah v'lo asa mitzvah. You're chayiv. There's a kasha. How could we say when it comes to eating the olas ha'of by accident that's tabid var mitzvah, that you're going to be putter even though you didn't do a mitzvah over here? You tabid var mitzvah, you didn't do the mitzvah, and you're going to be chayiv. So amalei bar mina dahid. No, you can't count that case. That doesn't count as a tabid var mitzvah. Dayit mar Allah amar Rav Shmuel bar Chasai, amar Rav Hamnuna Saba, amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashian, amar Rav Huna, amar Rav gon sheviu milishcha sheinu muvukarin. Now the case over here is you brought this animal from a lishcha, from an area where animals were gathered that were not mavukar. It was a whole group of animals that had not gone through the inspection process. That's not called the Tobit Dvar Mitzvah. That's a posheya. That person isn't even, if someone brings an animal from the wrong place, when it comes to the chatas of that gets mixed in with the olas of, you think it's a carbon chatas and it's really an ola. It's because there's one ola mixed in with all these chatos. The whole area is full of carbonos chatos. So it makes sense that a person is going to think that he's allowed to eat this bird. So that's an honest mistake. That we can call a Tobit Dvar Mitzvah. But over here, you take from Lishcha Sheinu Mevukarin, that's Stama Posheya. That's not called the Tobit Dvar Mitzvah. Such a person is not going to be Potter. Now, if it's Einu Mevukar Kil Chaso, what if it turns out to be that it didn't have a mum? You check it afterwards and there was no mum on the entire animal. So you were still going to say that you have to bring another carbon tamid and that you're chayiv for violating Shabbos. So Tos says yes. Tos Sheinu Mevukar Kil Chaso Vafilu Nimtza Tam Mishum Deton Bikur Dal Yom Kodem Shchit Teparg Mishayatame Yalf Mam Pesach Begzer Shava. The din of Bikur is not just to make sure that it doesn't have a mum. There is a requirement of Bikur. There is a requirement of the inspection process. The animal is not kosher for a carbon unless it goes through that process. It's not only practically does it have a mum, oh, it turns out you got lucky. It's not like when you check for a hashkacha on a food package and you forgot to check for hashkacha and you ate it, so now you want to know, oh, I forgot to check for the hashkacha. Was it kosher though? And you check afterwards, oh, it was kosher, Baruch Hashem, no harm, no foul. No, it doesn't work like that. The din of bikur is a part of the din of the karbon. That it doesn't have the din of the karbon unless you do that requirement of bikur. So that's the din of Tobit Dvar Mitzvah. Okay, now the new Mishnah. Mekabel Zisha Miyad Bina Miyad Baila. A woman could take the lulav from her son or from her husband after they're done with it. Umachzi Rasal Lamayim B'Shabbos and put it back in the water on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'Shabbos Machzirin B'Yom Tov Masifin U'B'Moyin Machlif. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, on Shabbos you're allowed to put it back in the water. On Yontif you're even allowed to add water. And on Chol HaMoed you're even allowed to switch the water out. At what age is a child chayev and lulav? As soon as he's yodel and anea, as soon as he knows how to be menanea the lulav. So Rashi over here writes that from here we see that notlam hayom, meaning if you look at Rashi, mekabel zisha miyad bina umiyad baila. B'Shabbos, in the B'Shabbos Machzirin rather, Rashi Shari Mikan Notlam Hayom, meaning you took this lulav from this water today, so you're putting it back in the same water you had taken it out of, but you would not be allowed to add extra water. So the Kapos Tamarim is Medayit from Rashi that it's only okay to be Machzirin into water that it was already in before you had used the lulav for the mitzvah. But if it wasn't originally in water, you would not be allowed to put it in water in the first place. So the Kapos Tamarim just points out that this is difficult because the Raman Simen Shin Lamed Vav Sif Yiralef says that you're allowed to take Anfei Ilonos and put them in water on Shabbos as long as there are no Prachim V'Shoshanim, as long as there are no flowers, there are no buds that are going to open up from the Lachluchas Hamayim. From the sometimes they have greenery when you buy flowers, they'll give you some extra greens or whatever. So flowers itself, you're not allowed to put in water on Shabbos, the Rama says, because it could open up based on being put in the water. But just the extra greenery that they do to as filler, that you're allowed to put. That's just Anfei Ilanos, that you're allowed to put in water on Shabbos. So it sounds like you're allowed to put it even L'Chadchila against Rashi. Rashi over here says only if it was in water before, not to put in water L'Chadchila. So Asema says that it could be Anfei Ilanos or Mutla Hamid B'mai L'chadchila, because they're for personal use to smell it, but by a lulav is only for the mitzvah. So maybe there's no din that you're allowed to do that. So okay, says Gemara Pshita. Of course you're allowed to put it back in the water on Shabbos. What's the problem? Why wouldn't the woman be able to take it from her husband and put it in the water on Shabbos? So Mal Detema Hol V'Yishalav Baschiyuvihi Emelot Kabel. I might have thought that since the woman is not included in the chiyuv of lulav because it's a mitzvah Shazman Grama, so I would think that that she should not, for her it's muktzah, so she should not be able to take the lulav from her husband, from her son. So kamashmulan, that's why it tells us that that it's not called muktzah, since men are chayiv in the mitzvah, so it's not called muktzah. Rashi says, what's the kamashmulan? So there are two ways to understand the kamashmulan. You could have understood kamashmulan that since she could volunteer the mitzvah herself, so there is a key mitzvah when a woman does a mitzvah, zneinu mitzvah v'yosa, she's allowed to volunteer a mitzvah, so it's not considered muktzah for her, because for her it could be a mitzvah also. Or the kamashmulan could be that since for men there's a mitzvah, so mele it's not labeled as an item that is muktzah. So Rashi writes the kamashmulan that she's allowed to take it, and it's not considered muktzah because it's royal in the tilas anashim, and therefore it has Torah's kli alav. He understands the second way, that it's royal in the tilas anashim, nothing to do with her own relationship to the mitzvah as nein mitzvah v'yosa, but all because men are allowed to use the mitzvah. So the Arzurah says, we can see from here that women are not allowed to be mevarich on mitzvah shazman grama, because if she was allowed to be mevarich, we wouldn't need the reason that that it's because it's royal anashim. It's royal al liatzma. She'd be allowed to use it herself to make a bracha, lital levarich. Rabbeinu Tam overholds that throughout Shas, Rabbeinu Tam's shita is that women are allowed to be mevarich on mitzvah shazman grama. So how do we understand this this Gemara? Hol v'ish alav baschiu v'hi, and it's also to be metal to lulu of shalol tzarcha. No, the kamashim lan is kiven dar shus biyad lital halulav ulevarich alav. It's toras kli alav, meaning the kamashim lan is like we said the first way, that she herself has shaychus to the mitzvah. L'chor, it's difficult to understand why this has anything to do with the bracha. Even if she can't make a bracha, that's a separate issue. Even if you have like the Shitas HaRambam, that a woman can't make a bracha mitzvah shazman grama, that's because she can't say the words asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, because she has no tzivoy, but she could still get a kiyum a mitzvah, meaning there's no hechrich in it's unclear what forced Rashi to say that what takes away its muksa status is the fact that a man can get the mitzvah, so therefore it's Torah's kli alav. Even a woman can get a mitzvah, even if she can't make a bracha, even if Rashi holds like the Rambam, that she's not allowed to say a bracha on it, but still she can get a kiyum a mitzvah as an enu mitzvah v'yosa, it still counts as something, it still counts as a kiyum a mitzvah. So it's not clear to me what forced Rashi to say that what gives it Torah's kli is the fact that a man can get the mitzvah. Okay, the Mishnah said that as soon as the child is old enough that he knows how to shake the lulav, so that's when he's chayiv in the mitzvah of lulav, that's when chinuch begins for lulav. So the Brice is going to list a whole bunch of different halachos of when a katan reaches a certain stage, which halachos kick in at which stage in life. So Tan Rabbanu, katan yodeh l'naneh, chayiv b'lulav. He knows how to shake a lulav, he's chayiv in lulav. The Rishonim write that that's midrabban and midin chinuch. Obviously, we're talking over here that he's chayiv in lulav. And yodel in anea means he knows how to be moluch, mevi, malu, mori. He knows how to do the mitzvah kitikuna. That's what the Briska Rav writes in his commentary on Erechin, his chidushim and Erechin, that nanua is a chelik of the mitzvah of lulav, but it's only for mitzvah min amuvchar. Midagbe, nafakbe, as soon as you pick up the mitzvah, you pick up the lulav, you're ready, yotze, the mitzvah meikradin. It is only for mitzvah min amuvchar. So we see that the age of chinuch for a given mitzvah is not just when a person is able to do the mitzvah, to bare bones minimum of the mitzvah. No, that's not yet the age of chinuch. The age of chinuch is when a child is able to do the mitzvah min amuvchar. Once he's able to do the mitzvah in the best possible way, at that age we're mechanichim in the mitzvah, because we don't want to be mechanich in a second-rate mitzvah, in a mitzvah that's not on the highest level. We want to be mechanich in the mitzvah properly. That's why this atef chayiv b'tzitzis. As soon as he knows how to do the ituf of the tzitzis, that's when he's chayiv in tzitzis. Lishmar tefillin of lokech lo tefillin. As soon as he knows how to guard his tefillin, he's already, his father already should buy him tefillin. There's a major discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Do we still hold this way to get him tefillin as soon as he's yodea lishmar tefillin? Meaning maybe we should avoid giving children tefillin at too young of an age, because maybe we don't trust that he's yodea lishmar tefillin at too young of an age. That we're concerned that he's not going to be shomer gufa properly, and tefillin requires guf naki kelisha bal kanafayim. That's what the Bala Yitzir says when the Brice says cutting a delish mer tefila vav lokeach lo tefillin. It means he's already 13 years old. But Beis Yosef says Brice sounds like it's a katan mamish, and not that he's already 13 years old. Yodei ledaber aviv lomdo Torah v'kriya shma. If he knows how to speak, so then you already start teaching him Torah v'kriya shma. Wait a second, how does that fit with the rest of them? We just said by all the other halachas, you have to know how to do the mitzvah nemuvchar. So mitzvah nemuvchar of Talmud Torah, so that's your day al daber. He's already going to be mekayim the mitzvah nemuvchar of Talmud Torah. So the answer is davar pashut, that unless you start teaching him Torah before he's able to really be a lamdan and to learn at a very high level, he's never going to get to that high level. You have to start teaching at a very early age. And also, there's no such thing as the level, meaning what's the level of Talmud Torah, where a person can get everyone on their own level is mekayim the mitzvah min amufchar of Talmud Torah. A child in first grade says Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim V'Haaretz, and he understands that pasuk on his level, that's a mitzvah min amufchar of Talmud Torah on his level. So Torah Mahi, what does it mean as soon as he knows how to speak, we teach him Torah? Amar Rav Nuna, Torah Tzivalana Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov, we teach him to say that pasuk. Kriya Shema Mahi, what does it mean we teach him Kriya Shema? Pasuk Rishon, the first pasuk Kriya Shema. Hayadeh Lishma Gufa Ochlar Gufa Taro, so Katan who knows how to guard his body from Tumah, so when something touches his body, we can assume it's still tahar. Lishmar is yadav ochnar yadav taros. If he knows how to even guard his hands from tumah derabanan, then when his hands touch something, we can assume that's tahar as well. Hayodei lishael brishos seyachet sveikotar brishosram sveikotar. If the child is old enough that you could ask him about what happened, he can be asked if he touched tumah or not, and he can answer yes or no. So then when a suffix arises, we apply the normal halachas of suffix tum brishos ram and suffix tuma brishos yachid, where brishos ram it's tar, brishos yachid it's tame. Hayodea lifros kapov, if he knows how to then we allow him, we distribute truma to him on the base of granos. If he's not yet at that age, then we could send it home, but we can't divide it up and give it to him by the base of granos. This question over here tells us to discuss at what age a katan should be poris kapov, because Gemara Megillah sounds like a katan should not be poris kapov, that only once he's a gadol he's poris kapov. So it tells us mechalik between a katan alone versus a katan that has a gadol with him. A katan alone, we don't allow to be paris kapov, but if he has an adult with him, so we'd allow. Hayodeh lishchot ochlin mishchita, so if he knows how to shecht, so then we eat from his shchita. Amen, meaning he knows that Rashi says, la amen yadav, he could hold his hand steady, we could eat from his shchita. Amen, rav hunav usha gadol amin al gabav, provided there's a gadol watching him, making sure that he does it properly, that he didn't do any of the violations of shchita. Tosis medayik from here, that if he's not yodeh la amin is yadav, even with a gadol amin al gabav that certifies that he did everything properly, we would not be allowed to eat from Mishchita. Yachal lechal kazayis dagan, marchik mitzoasim mimiraglav arba amos. Once he's able to eat a kazayis of dagan, so then his tsoa and his meraglayim have a din of tsoa and meraglayim, you'd have to stay 4 amos away from it in order to say dvarim shabdusha. Amrav chistav, vushi yachal lechal b'kdeach chilis pras. That's provided that you could eat the kazayis within the kdeach chilis pras. Amrav chiyab reid raviv b'gadol af b'sheni yachal lechal b'kdeach chilis pras. If he's a gadol, even if he can't eat a b'kateach chilis pras, his tzowa still has a din of tzowa. D'chsevi Yosef das, Yosef machov. Yachol lechol kazayis sli, shochlam avas pesach. As soon as a person could eat a kazayis of roasted meat, you can eat a carbon, we include him in the menuyin on the carbon pesach. It's a later stage in development to eat roasted meat than to eat cooked meat. So once he's able to eat roasted meat, we include him on the carbon pesach, because carbon pesach is roasted, obviously. Shnemer ish lefi achlo. Rabbi Domer achi yachol levarer achila. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, until he's able to choose food. Ketzad, what does it mean to choose food? Nosno tzror v'zoko, egos v'noto. If you give him a rock and he knows not to put that in his mouth, but you give him a nut and he knows to put that in his mouth, that's the age of das that a person is going to have, where we're already going to be able to include him on the carbon pesach. So that's an indication of das, when he knows what has value as food and what doesn't have value as food. Hadron lachluv agazel. We now begin the fourth parak of Masechah Sukkah. Lulav arava shisha v'shiva. The mitzvah of lulav, mitzvah of arava, could apply for 6 or 7 days. Hal v'asimcha shmona, hal v'asimcha for 8 days. Sukkah v'nisach hamayim shiva. Sukkah v'nisach hamayim applies for 7 days. Hachalil chamisha v'shisha. And chalil, which we'll see what that means, is 5 or 6 days. So lulav shiva ketzad. When is lulav ever 7 days? Yom tov rishon shachad shchalios b'shiva. Shabbos, lulav shiva. If the first day of Yontif falls on Shabbos, so then lulav is noig for 7 days. Vishar kol yamim shisha. But if the first day of Yontif falls any other day, then lulav is only noig for 6 days. Meaning, on Shabbos we don't take lulav unless it's the first day of Yontif. First day of Yontif, that's Shabbos, we're going to take lulav, and therefore lulav will be noig for all 7 days if the first day of Yontif falls out on Shabbos. But if any other day of Yontif falls out on Shabbos, then we're going to skip taking lulav on Shabbos. Arava shiva Ketzad? What is when do we ever take a Rava for 7 days? Yom Hashvi Shal Rava Shchalios B'Shabbos Rava Shiva. The key day of our Rava is the seventh day. So if the seventh day falls on Shabbos, we take our Rava for 7 days. We'll do it even on Shabbos. B'Shar Kol Yom Shisha. But if Shabbos falls on any of the other days, some will only take it for 6 days. We'll skip Shabbos. Mitzvah Lulav Ketzad. How would they do Lulav on Shabbos on Yom Tov Rishon? Yom Tov Rishon Shchag Shchalios B'Shabbos Malichnas Lulavay and Larabayis. They'll bring their Lulav Tarabayis in advance of Shabbos. The chazanim, the people in charge, would arrange the lulavim on the platform. The zakenim had a separate room where they would put their lulavim so they wouldn't get pushed around the next day when everyone's trying to find their lulav. And they taught everybody to say, look, whoever gets my lulav, I'm giving it to him as a matana. The next day, on the first day of Yontif, which was Shabbos, everyone came very early. The chazanim took out all the lulavim and they presented them in front of everybody, and everyone would start grabbing and hitting and trying to grab a lulav. Once Bezin saw this was not good, this was getting dangerous, people were beating each other up, they said, you know what, take lulav at home when the first day falls on Shabbos. And then obviously a later takana was that we stopped taking lulav entirely when the first day, even if the first day falls on Shabbos. Okay, but we'll pick up with the Gemara tomorrow.